B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Always at this time, we like to visit one of our friends who does such a great job covering the Eagles from The Athletic. We love him. There he is, the man, Zach Berman, on the Comcast Business Hotline. Zachariah.
Anthony, thanks for having me on.
What a pleasure. Always a pleasure, my man. Let's get started right there with the big kid. Jordan Davis looks good. Will he play Sunday? What do you think?
I'm leaning toward yes. You see, he's been in practice, talking to him yesterday. He's feeling good. Sirianni said today he's looking good. So my guess is he will be out there.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. Obviously, you need him against Derrick Henry. But it's good to get him back in a rotation because now you want to get him back, get his sea legs as you get ready for the stretch run.
Absolutely. And you look at these next three opponents, they all want to run the ball. And, you know, that's where Jordan Davis helps you the most. And then he can be in a rotation now with Linval Joseph at that nose tackle. They're going to have to play more odd man fronts during these next, you know, three, four games. And so in order for you to be prepared for that, you obviously don't want Jordan Davis taking too many snaps. You don't want Linval Joseph taking too many snaps. So the versatility, the depth that they would have at that nose tackle spot, something that they frankly didn't have earlier this season.
Yeah, it was big. It was big for Howie, man, you know, just to kind of bolster. That was their biggest weakness. I mean, we saw it. And he goes out and, you know, you got those two big tackles. I still can't believe it. I mean, guess what? They both can play a role. They both got something left in the tank, which is really important for the stretch run, especially if you wind up playing San Francisco at some point in the playoffs.
For sure. And Jordan Davis, there's more to scratch with his game, right? Like there's a level that he can go to that we haven't seen yet. And he obviously has to be on the field to do it, but this is the time of year often when you see things sometimes click for rookie players. There's cases where players hit the wall. There's other times where you see them really start to emerge late in the season. And he missed a month here, but I think you'll see more of Jordan Davis in those week 15, 16, 17, 18 games than going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I can see the same thing. Listen, you know, that was a great pick, and he's got a lot of promise. That's a big deal getting him back. So the other aspect of Sunday is, you know, A.J. Brown. I mean, it's the A.J. Brown revenge tour in a weird sense. The one thing I never really understood is why Tennessee would trade a young player. I know the contract is a contract, but, you know, like the Eagles signed to a contract that was not ridiculous.
I agree, and I'm sure you talk to people around the league about this. I have it dumbfounded people that Tennessee would give him up, and then it wasn't a deal that was over the line. Now, the Titans did have some big contracts on their books that were a little different than the Eagles, their cap situation. That said, it was nothing that would have been cost prohibitive. And B, you knew A.J. Brown's contract was coming up, right? So I understand that in contract negotiations, a lot go on, but it surprised me when the Titans traded him, and it was such a boon for the Eagles. And you're going to see the difference this Sunday between the Eagles' passing game and the Titans' passing game, and A.J. Brown is the major reason why.
How stoked is he for this game? Is there any part of him that you have you read into it? You know, where you always feel a certain way about your former team, especially since, like, there was really kind of no reason to move him.
Yeah, so he's downplayed it given what's happened, you know, these past few weeks. He's had an uncharacteristic few weeks. He was sick last week. He's fumbled the past two games, had the ankle injury. So he said his focus is more on getting consistency. But obviously, you know, there was a lot that went on in that situation with the Titans. He had mixed emotions when the trade went down. He had wanted to be a Titan for life. That's what Mike Vrabel wanted. And, you know, it's interesting. I get a big story on AJ this week that's up on The Athletic, and I spoke to him for it last week. If you look at his track record, he's someone who he steps up on the big stage. You know this well when he was in college. So he grew up in Starkville, Mississippi, and he decided to go to Ole Miss. I mean, that's a big deal. That doesn't happen very often. And his one game back in Starkville, he said that was the perfect game. He said that's a game that he's been chasing ever since. His first game in the NFL, Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry are on the other sideline. They're getting a big ovation. It's Odell's first game in Cleveland. And A.J. Brown says to himself, these people are here to see me. And he's the leading receiver in that game more than Odell and Jarvis Landry. So I bring that up as a way of saying that I think he's someone who's going to embrace this type of moment. And whatever the over-under is on him, take the over.
Yeah, I can see that, dude. I'm completely with you on that. I really am. Let's talk about the game itself. We're talking to Zach Berman from The Athletic, and he's brought to us by Peruzzi Nissan, where our business is you. How do you kind of match this up? Because listen, the run game aside, and we've talked about this, but the Titans are a tough matchup. I think this is a tough spot, and the matchup isn't, like, great for the Eagles.
It's a good litmus test, because if you look at the two things that the Eagles don't do well, you'd say run defense and special teams, and those are two things that the Titans do really well. So it's kind of strength on weakness there. Now we've talked all year about how the Eagles can play different styles, and this is a game when you look at the Titans' pass defense compared to their run defense. I don't think it's going to look like last week for the Eagles. I think this is a game where they throw the ball. I think they get AJ and Devontae involved, and that's how they pressure the Titans. And then on the other side of the ball, I expect more odd man fronts. They're going to sew out against the run. The Eagles have a big question mark in the secondary without Gardner Johnson. He brings Blankenship back there for his first start. But if you're Jonathan Gannon, you probably want to see the Titans try to beat you down the field this game as opposed to running Derrick Henry over and over and over again. Cincinnati did a good job bottling up in defending Henry last week, but that's going to be a huge test for this defense.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Vrabel is a really good coach, and I'm just curious about how he attacks the Eagles' offense from their standpoint.
Yeah, my guess is Jalen's going to get hit quite a bit, and what I mean by that is not in terms of the pass rush, but you know they can't get to you in that sense, but more in terms of every time Jalen runs the ball, I bet the Titans are going to make him earn it, right? You know they're going to be a physical team, and that I imagine is going to be what Vrabel is emphasizing this week. But as I said, like the Eagles, they believe they're tough. They believe they're physical. They've proven that. I don't think that's a component that frightens them.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You know, you know what's interesting? I was having this conversation with someone in the league about stopping. Like, how do you stop the Eagles' offense? Because I just think it's fun to come from a chess match from an X and O standpoint. And I brought it up on the air, and then I was thinking about and then I ran it by some people in the league, and we were talking about it because the one thing that's interesting is you almost have to keep Jalen off the edges and you got to spy him in the middle. So you really need to kind of, you know, you corral, kind of box him in a lot of sense and keep him within, you know, not just the pocket, but keep him from getting from the off the edges on you and keep him, you know, from having to have a one-on-one against you in the middle.
Yeah, that's a good point there. I mean, when I look at the teams who've had the most success this year against them, they blitzed, right? But blitzing can, you know, that can be tough because he can make you pay there.
Yeah.
And if you blitz against him, you really need to trust that your corners can stop AJ and Devontae because you're going to have answers. And then there's situations like that third down on the opening drive last week where, you know, it looked like the Eagles wanted a shot play there, wasn't downfield, and Jalen turns it into, you know, a 30-yard gain on the ground. So,
yeah.
So to your point, you need to have eyeballs on them. But if you have eyeballs on them, it affects what you do with the rest of the team.
Right.
So
right.
That's what makes them so difficult to stop. But I think ultimately when you look at if you can get after them with a blitz and then you can have corners that you trust in coverage, that would probably be the best way to do it. But I don't think there's been a team yet that's really found a good answer for them.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, it's fun because you always want to try to self-scout. You want to try to kind of look. I always play that game where, how would I beat myself, right? You know, so this way, knowing how I would beat myself, I can defend against it, right? That's kind of how you operate in any kind of chess match, any kind of strategic kind of standpoint. And what makes Eagles so dangerous is you saw the back shoulder throw that Jalen made. So if you sell out against him in that way, that was pretty awesome, right? Like he made that throw. That back shoulder throw was incredible. It was a great throw. It was a great read by him and Quez.
I agree, and that's the evolution of Jalen. Is that, you know, that's not isolated. He's made throws like that since week one, and I don't know if at the end of the playoff game last year we would have had that conversation about him. Right, the consistency in the passing game is huge. The decisions that he's making, the way he's delivering the ball. It's a credit to his development.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I was impressed. You know, listen, it's one thing when, you know, the whole idea of him racking up all those yards, man. Dude, that, like, 350 yards on the ground is ridiculous. I mean, those are serious numbers. I mean, when you're, and then you just go, you know, because I'm extrapolating saying, hey, in January, you got to face that ground attack. That's not fun, man.
Absolutely, and not to get lost in there is Miles he's running as well.
I agree,
as he's
dude.
Run since he's been yeah. here, and you look at the yards after contact last week, and that offensive line that they have. I mean, that can travel, if you will, right? Like that's something that works in January. That works in early February. So the ground game. I expect them to be consistent. And then when you have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and eventually Dallas Goedert back in the passing game and Quez Watkins, he can make plays like you just said. There are so many answers on this offense.
Yeah, that's what's, like, really impressive to me. I got to tell you, it excites me because I go, that's the mark of a good football team. And then I bring it back to Sirianni because Sirianni, you knew, listen, that when he was first coming in, like every other young offensive guy, he wanted to throw the football, and he completely, you know, changed his direction. He changed his whole offense, which is hard to do. He's a hell of a coach, dude. He really, they're always prepared. He really is. He impresses me
for sure. And you know, I think that evolution last season was a good example. You have to coach the players you have, not to coach the players you had. And, you know, he didn't have Phillip Rivers at quarterback, and they couldn't run the offense that they ran with Phillip Rivers. And obviously now that Jalen's developed more and had more time in the system, they can have some of those concepts that they had before, but then you marry them with some of the things Jalen does well in the RPO game, and it just made them so much more dangerous. And it's a credit to Sirianni, to Steichen, to the whole staff, for recognizing that, for adjusting, and for making it work with their personnel.
Yeah, dude, I got to tell you, I'm impressed by the whole thing. Hey, what do you expect about Chauncey? How long will he be out with this lacerated kidney?
Yeah, so we asked Sirianni about that today. They haven't officially made a decision on IR. Obviously, if he goes on IR, he has to miss at least four games. He's not on there yet, but they're going to have a move to make if and when Jordan Davis comes on to the 53. But lacerated kidney, sometimes you can get back within that 4 week time frame. Zach Ertz played on it on a very short period back. I think it was 2019, but it's easy for me to talk about. I mean, I'm not the one with the lacerated kidney, so I imagine that they can be relatively conservative with it. But the good thing is the expectation is that he's back this season, right? So I would expect sometime toward that the end of the season range there, but it is something that players have returned from before. The big question is whether he goes on IR, and it hasn't happened yet.
How long is that usually for that injury?
You hear different time frames. You hear the 4 to 6 week time frame. In Ertz's case, I think it was like 2 weeks later or thereabouts. So it can vary. It's not the type of injury that has like a standard rehab, right? You have to let that thing heal, and then there's a pain tolerance level that adds to it as well.
Okay. All right. Good. 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 All right, buddy. So, what do you think, man? How would you kind of look at and assess Sunday? What would your prediction for the game be?
I think the explosiveness that the Eagles have on offense is going to be the difference. And I think AJ Brown's going to have a big game. So I'm going with the Eagles because of the passing game. I would rather go with the team that has AJ Brown and these offensive weapons than the team that doesn't have the offensive weapons. But Tennessee's going to make them earn it, and that point spread would worry me. So it's the type of thing where I would take the Eagles to win but not to cover.
Gotcha. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Zachariah, great stuff, my man. We appreciate it as always, buddy. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game Sunday.
Thank you. You got it.
All right, buddy. Zach Berman, my man, on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.